This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, did you miss us? I missed you. Welcome back to Phillies Therapy for the first time in 2 weeks. Hope you had a lovely holiday weekend here in America around Memorial Day. Joined with the world's most famous Syracuse alum, Matt Gelb, I am the world's most famous University of Scranton alum, Paul Boyer. This is Phillies Therapy, a Phillies podcast, ostensibly, about the 25-29 for the third straight year, Philadelphia Phillies, who, as we get deeper into this season, as June is now breathing down our necks, we're recording this on May the 31st, things still seem a little bit stuck. Say that five times fast. As mentioned, 25-29, not going to get it done. That is not leading the division. The Phillies are 6.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves as we record. They just dropped a rather meager two-hit effort against the Mets yesterday, their first game back after an off day on Monday. Bryce Harper did not play, even though he had an opportunity to beat the tying run as a pinch hitter in the ninth inning. Didn't happen. Matt, the Phillies went 5-7 since we last recorded, which feels about right. They are sitting in fourth place in the division. They are pretty dangerously close to the Nationals. They're only 2.5 games up of the Nationals right now. And we're getting about to that point where last year things magically clicked into gear. Joe Girardi was let go, Rob Thompson took over, and the Phillies took off. But, well, do you think they can count on that happening again this year?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
They were 25-29 last year, obviously. It's the third year in a row now. Mm-hmm. Last year, they got their 25th win. It was that come-from-behind walk-off against the Angels. It was Thompson's third game as manager, and Stott hits a walk-off homer, and I'm wondering, Paul, I don't know if you can remember how you felt. You know, it was the Phillies were 11 back, very much further back than they are right now. Do you feel better or worse right now about this 25-29 than you did last year's 25-29?
Well, it is a great question, because if we're using that as the measuring stick, which is unreasonable, of course, you can't expect everything to happen like it did last year, because that year ended up being kind of magical. I remember the exact moment you're talking about. I did a hit with Pat Gallen on CBS right around the time that series ended. And
nice humble brag.
Thank you. Yeah. I remember remarking to him something along the lines of, this was something storybook, you know, because Harper had a key hand in. I think he ended up tying the game shortly before Stott ended up walking it off. Harper had a hand in, you know, this storybook kind of come from behind. Like, you started to feel as though something was really changing. Like, maybe they really got the message and, okay, this could be the start of something. And of course, it ended up being exactly that. I don't really get that feeling right now. No, because there hasn't been that key moment where things have really felt like they've started to turn around. You know, you look at somebody like Trey Turner, right? You keep waiting for him to really just take off, right? Like, I was hoping at the end of the, or right in the middle, actually, of the Atlanta series, that something was really starting to click in. He was starting to hit the ball a little bit harder. You know, he picked up a couple doubles. Things seemed like they were looking all right, you know? And you keep wanting it to be that time. And then he fell flat in the series finale, and he had an 0 for last night, and it hasn't really quite picked up. And it just feels like that's a microcosm of this team right now. Every little bit of momentum gets offset by an equal or worse bit of opposite momentum, unmomentum, dismomentum. So I guess to answer your question, no, I don't feel as good right now. I don't feel the same way that I did last year. I'm still waiting for that pivotal moment.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that that come from behind walk-off win against the Diamondbacks, you know, last week, you know, maybe to a lot of people felt like, oh, hey, like, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, Turner ties the game with two outs and a ninth, and finally a moment for him, and the Phillies come back and win, and, you know, just really were not able to capitalize. And it started that next night, you know, with Nolan not really pitching well.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because here in the stretch here, outside of Dylan Covey, who we can touch on in a little bit, yeah, they're getting better pitching. I mean, like, Wheeler's start against the Braves, fantastic. I mean, awesome. Ace stuff, you know, I mean, really, 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 really good. Taiwan Walker's last one, better. Ranger Suarez last night was really good. I mean,
excellent.
He got ahead of hitters. He was efficient. You know, he probably didn't miss as many bats as you'd like, but still, nevertheless, it was a big improvement, and they have to feel good about that. Paul, like, I think I don't want to like make it too simple.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but I just keep coming back to this, to me, an inconceivable number about these Phillies so far. And that's that, and I've used it in my stories often, like, they, from their 1 and 2 hitters, they have a combined 270 on base percentage from the 1 and 2 spots in the lineup. And since 1920, which is considered the start of the live ball era in Major League Baseball, that stands right now as the fourth worst on base percentage from the top two spots in a lineup in the last 103 years. I mean, it's inconceivable. The Phillies are making outs at a higher rate from the two spots in the lineup that bat more than any other spots than just about any team in the last 100 years.
And when those are the two spots that are getting the most trips to the plate, that's not a recipe for success. Look, I can't explain it. I don't think any of the players can explain it. I don't think Rob Thompson can explain it. I don't think anybody in the front office can explain it. It's one of those things that just kind of is. And I know that's not comforting to anybody. I know that's not, it's not really what you want to hear. You know, it's just like, oh, that's just the way it's got to be. You know, you look at Turner. I'm just pulling up the splits here. He's got the bulk of the plate appearances from the second spot of the order, 176 of them on base of 284. I mean, that's not what anybody expected coming into this year. And I guess to his credit, Turner's been striking out less. He's still not getting hits to drop as frequently as you want, but he is striking out less. Look, I don't know how to diagnose that, but I know that that symptom is something that needs to get cleared. If this offense is gonna hit the way everybody was expecting it to, the way you kind of need it to, especially when the pitching is not operating at, you know, 100% capacity. I don't know what needs to be changed. That's something that they're paying the coaches and managers to take care of. But until it gets fixed, I don't know if they can get out of this rut. And I think you can call it now a 54-game rut.
Yeah, no question. And right, it's like, it's one thing to diagnose the problem, it's another to come up, you know, with the solution for it. And Thompson is a guy who, you know, really doesn't like to shuffle his lineup on a regular basis. And that was a criticism of Joe Girardi, especially early last year. There's just too many flipping around, moving guys around. Guys didn't, you know, like it. They didn't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But even if Rob Thompson wanted to make a switch right now, it's like, okay, I mean, what do you do? Like,
yeah,
do you move Schwarber back up to the top? Like, he's one of the few guys who's consistently taking his walks. We're about to enter, you know, June Schwarber here. You know, but he tried Schwarber up there earlier this month, and you know, there was a lot of blowback for it, and it didn't go great. Like, Brandon Marsh, I mean, he's consistently got on base, but I think he's probably better suited batting, you know, in the lower third of the lineup where he's been and where he's had success. It comes back to probably the bigger problem about the Phillies right now is that there's not a lot of balance in the lineup, right? You have a lot of talented hitters, but they all have similar characteristics. They like to swing. And that's okay, because, like, you don't want to take away guys' aggressiveness. I mean, it's why Trey Turner and JT Realmuto and Nick Castellanos have had success is that, you know, they are prepared to hit on the first pitch, and they like to swing. And typically when they swing, they do damage. You would like other guys to balance out that, right? And Schwarber and Harper, in a way, are, you know, like that. It's pretty obvious, like, they miss Reese Hoskins a lot.
Sure.
I mean, Reese was the balance of that. You know, he's a guy who was willing to take pitches and have a long at bat. And Bryson Stott's been doing that, I think. He hasn't gotten on base at an elite rate. I mean, he's got a 323 on base right now with a 287 batting average. So, I mean, there's not a lot of balance right now. There's a lot of chase, obviously. I mean, the Kodai Senga matchup was just a brutal one for the Phillies going into it. I was like, Tim Britton, who covers the Mets for The Athletic, I was like, look, if he can just throw that splitter for a strike like a couple times early in the game, this is a really bad matchup for the Phillies, because then he can start throwing it for chase and they're going to chase it. And, you know, the way he sets up that, 97, 98 mile an hour fastball up in the zone and plays off that splitter, it's a pretty good look. They worked him early in the game. He threw a lot of pitches in the first three innings, but there just really wasn't much going on, and tough matchup. But I don't know. Paul, they're 23rd in runs scored in baseball right now. I look at the pieces, and the sum of it has not matched, the quality of the pieces that are in this lineup. And I know right. There's issues. Like, I know I'm not blind to the fact that, some guys have gotten overexposed. It's not all on Trey Turner, but I think a lot is. I think a lot is on Trey Turner right now. And that's not to say that this is all his fault, but if he figures it out, I think it will make a huge, huge difference in the fate of this team.
Well, sure. It ties into so much of what we're talking about here, right? He's the kind of guy you were expecting either batting first or batting second, whatever the case may be, and he's done both, to be the guy to produce in this spot. And instead, it's been, as you were just talking about, the exact opposite. And it's not as if importing Turner and putting him into this spot is the reason for that. It's like you were just saying, this guy is clearly so much better than the way he's played. And none of us can understand from the outside what the hell changed to make him perform this way right now. Like, you can, I am searching very hard, I will say, to constantly find silver linings with Turner and recent performance and what could possibly stick out as some kind of sign that he's really about to turn it on. I keep hammering it home like, all right, this is going to be it. This is going to be the time where he really starts taking off. He's about to rip off a stretch of like hitting 340 for the next month or something, because you know that's in him. We have watched him play for other teams, for a division rival, and just absolutely, scorch the ball for a couple of months at a time. It's right there in his history. You can pull up Baseball Reference and look at it anytime you want. And now we're two plus months in, basically, if you count the end of March. And we're still waiting for our share of that. If he does have it click, I don't know what he needs to do it. Maybe this less, striking out a little bit less means something is coming. I would hope so. I usually like looking at that. And if I see somebody making more contact, putting more balls in play, typically the hits are going to come. It's usually how baseball works. That something's going to change. If he starts performing at the top of the order, great. Hopefully more things follow. I think then you also have to, it's a bunch of worries today. You also have to think about, what if June Schwarber doesn't come? One of the many other things that could
see, here. I think that's going to come. I don't know if it's going to be June Schwarber, like we saw before, but I've looked, I talked to Schwarber about this the other day. I haven't used a lot of, but I think this guy has been incredibly unlucky so far. Mm-hmm. The underlying numbers suggest that he has been insanely unlucky. And it's funny, because when we thought of Schwarber in 2023, we think about a guy who, if he manages to put the ball in play more, he's going to be rewarded because there's no more shift, right? Well, he's got a batting average on balls in play at 168 right now.
168.
Which feels really low. I don't know where that is in the context and the history of batting average on balls in play, but it feels really, really low. Maybe one of the lowest ever. And so he's taken his walks. I'll give him credit there. He's been the one guy in the lineup who I feel like if they need to get someone on base and he's up at the plate, you're like, he's going to get on base. He's going to find a way to get on base. And I'm saying that about a guy who's hitting 166 right now, which sounds really stupid, but that's what I'm saying. And so I don't know, with Turner, like you mentioned, I just want to say this, he struck out at least once in 9 straight games, 13 strikeouts in 9 games, 40 at bats. And in the last five games, he has struck out once. Yep. And you're right. I think the quality of the bats has been better. I thought even like Tuesday night, he hit a couple balls kind of hard to center field. Mm-hmm. I thought they were better. But every time I think the bats are better, I mean, like he's very results driven. Like I've talked to him about this. He doesn't like, he's like, oh, that ball was hit really hard. It's like that, you know, that was good contact. He doesn't care. Like he wants a hit. Like he'd rather have the hit. So, mm-hmm. He's definitely in his head. I mean, that's very clear. I think he's put a lot of pressure on himself to, you know, be the guy. And he doesn't have to be the guy. He has to just be a guy. And he has not been that yet.
To circle back to the Schwarber point, I pulled it up because, yes, 168 seems kind of insane. It is far and away the lowest among qualified hitters in the majors right now. Like, it's not.
What's the next closest?
Max Muncy at 206.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's 40 points.
That's almost a 40-point spread. It's a very interesting top three. You have Schwarber at 168, and I'm just looking at some of these other, you know, numbers alongside of it. Max Muncy at 2, Pete Alonso at 3, 210. Now, really? Muncy and Alonso are having pretty big years, power department-wise. Like, they are smoking the ball. Alonso's leading the majors in home runs. Not hitting for high averages. Obviously, you don't really expect guys to be hitting 350 when their BABIPs are in the low 200s. But if you compare Schwarber to those two guys, Schwarber's got him beat in exit velocity average. You know, he's hitting the ball harder. He's got a relative hard hit rate that tops both of those guys. So he's hitting the ball hard more frequently than those two. You're right. He just on balance is getting robbed a lot. Which is a shame, you know, and
I mean, that's what you look at. Like you look at the underlying metrics and they say, uh-huh. You know, he's hitting the ball. His hard hit rate is a little down from last year, but also he led the National League in home runs last year. So, I mean, it's like, it's not down significantly. It's still a, you know, rather elite, I think, you know, rate of hard hit contact.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, we know it's in him. We know it's in Schwarber. We know it's in Turner. Harper is performing as we expect him to. The rest
of hold on a second. Hold on a second. I just looked this up.
What?
His this is again because it hasn't been a full season, so uh-huh. You know, take it for what it is. But for qualified hitters, and he's qualified right now, since the wild card era, he's got the lowest BABIP by 30 points. since 1995.
The lowest since 1995 is like 198.
196. Aaron 196? Hill in 2010.
Aaron Hill.
For qualified hitters, right? Qualified for the batting title.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Let's go further back. Hold on. Let's see this. How far back do we have to go? I mean, it's the lowest ever right now.
Oh my God. I love talking about this team in historical context, being how far back do we have to go to find something that was just as bad? Although I guess BABIP isn't really a bad thing. It's bad for the player, but it's not necessarily like bad as like they're broken kind of thing. I don't know how to explain that. It's not great.
It's the lowest ever.
But like, well, all right, look. Here's the thing. Here's where this discussion kind of turns around now. So we know this. So we look at Kyle Schwarber being historically unlucky. We look at Trey Turner being some strange monstarred Space Jam version of himself at the moment. And you're like, how much longer? Obviously, you're going to keep waiting it out. These guys aren't going anywhere. You're not trading them. This is not what I'm talking about. How much longer do the Phillies have to wait for them to have it click in before they, you know, are really in trouble here and start looking at their playoff hopes slipping away? I'm not talking about any late July plan. Again, don't take this outside. I'm just trying to think of like, when did things start feeling like the walls are closing in that much more? How much more slack do we have to wait for these guys to like really kick it in?
You're not going to like the answer to this.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I think they have all the slack in the world. Look at the league right now. I mean, the National League is a mess.
Well, I do like that answer. That's good. That actually,
I mean,
that gives
me no, point. I mean, I just think that, like, I'm not saying that it's going to happen like it did last year. I'm not. But what I'm saying is, like, let's be realistic at it. Let's be realistic about it. There's six spots in the National League, and right now, the sixth spot is held by the San Francisco Giants. Like, I don't know. And, like,
one
right now in front
500.
Of the.
Yeah.
one game over 500. And right now in front of the Phillies, between the Giants and the Phillies right now is the Marlins, the Pirates, and the Padres. The Phillies are also tied with the Phillies, Padres, and Reds, all have the same record. That's not what I expected to say. And also for it to not be four games under 500 right through this season. But here we are.
Yeah,
Ben Lively, Reds ace.
Oh, no, stop it. Stop it.
But I don't know. Like, the Braves, you know, like, the Phillies should have taken three out of four from the Braves. They ended up with a series split in Atlanta, which was solid. Like, it was a solid series split. Then the Braves go to Oakland and lose two in a row to the A's, the worst team in baseball history. So it's like, what do we make of this? And what I make of it is that they're not going to be out of it. I mean, they would have to play horrendously bad, the Phillies would, to be out of the wild card race. Now, obviously, like, the expectation was more. Like, you wanted them to compete for a division. And that's not to say that they won't, because they're 6.5 back, and we don't know. But so the question, the real question we should be asking is, how much longer of a leash do they have until we're saying they can't get the division? And that for sure has a shorter leash. Like, that, you know, if you don't kick it into action here in June, you will not win the division. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, that's absolutely legit. I mean, look, the National League is a parody lover's dream right now, because the Nationals have the worst record in the NL and they're five games back of a wild card spot. Like, it's anybody's game, baby. This is beautiful. This is mediocrity at its finest. This is tremendous.
And even the top teams, like, I don't know, the Dodgers are trotting Noah Syndergaard out there every fifth day, and like, the Braves, God bless them, like, they just caught up a pitcher, a high school pitcher who was drafted in the seventh round 2 years ago, who didn't start pitching until like 2 years ago, and now he's in their bullpen. I mean, he's apparently very, very good, but man, like, that is they're dipping in there. I mean, their bullpen is definitely a problem. I don't know how much of those games you ended up watching, but like, their bullpen is a really big problem, I think.
We're talking about the Braves this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that the Braves have their own version of somebody being weird and not up to snuff in AJ Minter. You know, that guy was about as dominant as you could get a couple years ago. And he's been, you know, underlying numbers, he's been okay, you know, good strikeout to walk, but he's just coughing up runs. And, you know, it doesn't really matter when they're able to just throw some of these starting pitchers out there who can throw sub two ERAs like Bryce Elder or whatever.
Right, but there's going to be regression there. Is there not? I don't know.
The Braves are like this weird mystical burial ground team to me, where they just bring dudes up who perform for just the right amount of time. And then, you know, whether it's good fortune or what have you, they flip some of them at the right time. You know, look at what they did with Pache and Langoliers and two other guys for Sean Murphy, who was always regarded as a nice player, a good defensive player who could hit a little bit. Oakland, you know, kind of clouded some of that, but they flipped these guys who made the majors at young ages or were on the doorstep, looked like they still had some of that prospect sheen to them, turn around, get Sean Murphy, sign him to an extension, and what does he do but hit like freaking Mike Piazza, all while still playing, you know, good defense. Like, this is just what the Braves do, and this is what drives me crazy. But I'm not talking about the Braves anymore. We're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. They're our team. They're our boys. They're our bulk boys.
So after facing Spencer Strider and Kodai Senga two nights in a row, are we going to talk about the back of the Phillies rotation now?
You know what? I mean, it's going to be a constant theme for as long as it remains a constant theme, right? Whether they address it by somebody breaking out, maybe Bailey Falzer gets his head screwed on straight, or they make a trade, or I don't know what they're going to do at this point. It's always going to be just this mini vacuum in the rotation. And, you know, it's one of those problems, again, like we've talked about in previous episodes, where it's not unique to this team this year, but this team is still trying to compete, and you're going to need a more complete rotation to get you through the regular season and into the playoffs. Once the playoffs come along, all right, yeah, fine, SP5, see you later. But you have to get there, and you need a fifth starter to get you there. It's like when you're launching a rocket into space, right? You have multiple stages. You have your boosters, you have your main engines, and you know, astrophysicists out there, please forgive me for not knowing, you know, the right terminology and process here. But as you ascend through the different levels of the atmosphere and the stratosphere, you shed those layers so that you can more ably maneuver once you clear gravity. And that is the play. The playoffs are outer space. And the fifth starter is the rocket that helps get you out there. And then you shed it. And you're like, okay, we're in the playoffs now. We don't need you as much. You have a different role. I love that metaphor. I just came up with that on the
fly. I thought that was like a long buildup to like an Elon Musk joke or something.
No. The Phillies need that rocket. They need that engine to perform better than it has. Or they're just not going to get there. They're not going to clear gravity. And I don't know what the fix is right now, and they're probably not going to do anything about it externally, I wouldn't think, until next month being July. Maybe they make something a little bit earlier. I don't know. I think we're looking at another month of trying to maneuver this, and it's just kind of grin and bear it. Maybe Matt Strom goes back in there for another couple, two or three inning starts. Maybe I'm sure Falter is going to come back up at some point. Dylan Covey, I don't know. Give him another look. He had a good debut. So, you know, at least there's that to work off of for another appearance or two. I don't know. I think that's just kind of reality right now with SP5. Am I missing something?
No, I would add that, yes, it's not a problem exclusive to the Phillies, but their problems have been acute here. I mean, it needs to be better. And it's not going to be, it's not like you're going to have a great solution for it, but whatever the solution is, this has got to be better. I mean, like, you count the games pitched by Falter and Covey, and they're 1-9 in those games. And it's not solely because of the fifth starter. I'm fully aware that, you know, Falter didn't have the greatest run support in a lot of his starts, but it's gotta be better than 1-9. I mean, it was like 3-7, like, that's okay. It's like 1-9. It's not good. This is not good. It's gotta be better. And I, Paul, like, I'm mildly surprised that Covey's still on the roster. Like, I was,
me too,
you know, fairly certain that he was going to get DFA'd, and they would just bring up a reliever, for this week. And then, you know, just kind of go from there on Saturday. And maybe they look at it as like they're going to face the Nats, who are, as you mentioned, quite pesky. They probably are like the, you know, like the worst slugging team in modern baseball this year. I think they lead the majors in batting average, but they are last in home runs. Maybe they're like, we can, you know, use Covey in some sort of bulk role, like, you know, and just try to get by one more time against the Nationals. If they massage the rotation a little bit, I do think they can line it up so that the fifth spot then comes up again against Arizona and then Oakland, which is not a bad way to do it. Although, as we just saw, the A's are a dynamo now. They've won two in a row against the Braves.
They're on a roll, baby.
You know, there's some off days, like the All-Star break. I mean, I look at this as like they're trying to Band-Aid this thing for 2 months.
Sure.
June and July. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it's going to be a combination of bullpen games, skipped spot, rearranging. And it's not great, but I don't think they have a better solution.
Well, that's fair. I mean, you know, we'll talk about this more as July approaches. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of trade speculation one way or another, depending on how this next month goes. So we'll leave that for another time. But it sure feels like the team at least feels as though they have internal options they can keep cycling through. And maybe they have I'm not saying it's quality. I'm just saying it's enough to get them into July, right? And maybe they can have, you know, that moment where they dip into the waiver wire and pick up somebody like a Covey,
by the way, who now owns the worst ERA of any pitcher with 250 career innings since World War II.
Wow, really?
Your reaction to that is just perfect. I mean, yes. Oh, wow. Yes, he has a 6.6 ERA in his life, right? His career. and he's got, you know, 270 something innings. And do you want to know who the previous record holder was? I don't know if you'll remember this guy. He's not a former Philly or anything, but he's like a 90s guy. And I'm sure you remember this name.
I probably might, because I was gonna say Sean O'Sullivan, but mercifully,
I don't think he got that many innings. Now,
yeah.
Ken Cloud. Do you remember Ken Cloud?
Oh, no, actually, I don't.
He pitched for the Mariners for a bunch of years. You know what? Sean O'Sullivan had 323 innings in the majors, but only a 6.01 ERA.
Only. Come on, Sean. Come back and pitch an inning and get it under six.
He's only 35.
See?
He's 6 months younger than me. He should try to come back. Just watch the net. Watch the neck.
Yeah, right. Oh, jeez. I think it's easier to live with the fifth starter thing for if you're any team. If you have the rest of the rotation picking up the slack more frequently,
correct.
You know, that's sort of like an adage. And I'm looking at, like, it's funny, you know, Taijuan Walker has been up and down. We'll put it that way. He's getting a little less than 5 runs of support for, you know, every 27 outs. And the team is 7-4 in his starts. He is having, you would say, a worse year than Aaron Nola. You know, some
for
people
sure.
you ask might disagree with that.
No, he is.
They're the weirdos. And the Phillies have a losing record in Aaron Nola starts, despite Nola getting over 6 runs of support per 27 outs. I mean, that we're having a bit of carry from a 14-run and a 12-run outburst.
Right.
His starts, but like that's kind of the weird stuff that's happening in the rotation right now, where first and foremost Walker's getting bailed out a little bit, Nola not quite as much, but secondly, and I'm going to segue into an adjacent topic here because it's important and I think we need to check back in on it because it's been a couple of months now. Nola is, you may remember, a pending free agent, and this down year, this kind of weird performance out of him, he's not throwing as hard, the strikeouts are way down from his previous couple of years. He's giving up more home runs. The overall balance, strikeouts to walks, is still fine. It's less than what he did. He's clearly hit something of a speed bump. But he is important, and he's pitching innings. He's in the top 20 in the league in innings right now, which, again, is important, especially with overall starting pitching being kind of a mess right now. Has this start to his year, one third of the way, 11 starts into a 30 to 32 start year, so a third of the way through, has this start to his year affected the outlook of his retention come this winter at all? Has that moved the needle? Has anything changed there?
I don't know. Not yet. I guess you need to see more. I don't know. Like, because his last start was, I thought, really disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, 3 home runs. First time he's given up 3 home runs in a long, long time. And as I mentioned earlier, it was like kind of a momentum swing kind of thing. It's like you won that big game the day before. You're like, you got your guy in the mound. It's like, you know, hey, like, let's kind of see if we can get this thing going. And he took a lot of air out of the sails there. And I think, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's so weird to me about him, Nola in particular, because he has in equal measure, maybe even tilting more toward the positive, these really big starts. Like, he'll come through and then he'll have, yeah, like starts like he had in Atlanta where he doesn't, where there's a chance to really kind of push forward a little bit and then it just goes, you know. That's just, I don't know a better way to describe it. Like, on balance, this is a really good pitcher. And I keep going back to that. I'm like, look at his numbers at the end of the year. They're all there. He's doing, you know, great stuff in the top tier of pitchers in this league. And then you break it down by game and a division game on the weekend, trying to pick up a little bit of steam. And it just falls flat. And like, ironically, to continue the paradox, he had his most swinging strikes in that game of any start this year by a lot. He had that one inning where he ran through everybody on swinging strikes. And it's just, I get it. I get the frustration people have with him, even though I still think he's important for the future. You know, obviously this year, like I would like for the Aaron Nola of last year to make a bit of a reappearance. But yeah, I'm with you in that I'm a little less confident in what I've seen of him this year.
I mean, the strikeouts are down and the home runs are up. And that's where you start to get worried. It's not about, you can break it down to a granular level, but globally, if you look at it, like those are two things that a pitcher, and especially a pitcher like Nola, has controlled before. He's been an elite strikeout pitcher, and he's been really good at keeping the ball in the ballpark in general. It's way up. I mean, his strikeout rate is just cratered this year.
Yeah, it's really something to look at. I mean, you put that hand in hand with throwing a little bit softer, and I don't know, man. I'm definitely a little bit shakier in my conviction than I was at the start of the year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's running career highs in home run rate and career low in strikeout rate.
Not what you want in a walk year.
No. And his highest walk rate since 2020, which really doesn't count. His highest walk rate since 2019.
So, okay. That's fine. Whatever. The Phillies have two more again. The Phillies have two more against the Mets here in the middle of the week. And then they go visit the Nationals for the first time. Now that you've pointed this out, the leading in average and being last in home run, I am so convinced that something infuriating is going to happen in at least one of these games now, with just like bloops and bleed. It's going to be like a Giants East series. I am now preemptively mad about that. So great. I'm feeling so good. I'm so wound up about this team right now. And then they have the Tigers at home.
Matt Vierling. He's on the IL.
I know.
Hopefully he makes a trip, because I know that they had planned to give both those guys their rings like before one of those games. So I'm looking at their numbers though right now. Not good.
No, and here's hoping Nick Maton isn't optioned before that series. Like, he might get sent down the way he's playing. My gosh.
It's not good.
That's a shame. It's not good. Yeah. I love them both. I wish them success. I hope they turn it around.
Cody Clemens has been all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Detroit. And Greg Soto has still been good. I mean, look, a third of the way through the year, the Phillies won the trade.
There's your consolation for today.
Hooray. Anyway. Yeah, it's a team with problems and no obvious solutions at the moment. The solution is play better. The
solution is your best players need to play better.
It's right now. It's pretty simple, but also very complex. Play better. And don't be 25 and 29 again next year, just as a footnote for next May or June. All right, yeah, that's basically that. The Phillies got to play better, and hopefully they claw their way back and take a little bit of a bite out of the Mets here and don't let the Nationals, paper cut them to death. And we'll see what happens. You know, you got to start making up ground here. It's June. It's time to kick it in. It's time to play with the big boys here and try and separate yourself from the morass of mediocrity that is the National League right now and get yourself into better position as July, starts creeping up. That's basically all there is to it. Matt, before we go our separate ways here, what have you got up on The Athletic recently that people should go and check out?
I mean, I don't know. Does anyone want to read anything about this team right now?
I do. I always do. I always want to read your pieces.
I mean, I've just been trying to capture what's happening and not well, I would say. This is always like a tough time of year. Right. I don't know. Like, because you can't. I don't know, you toe that line right of like trying not to read too much and everything, but it's also, it's a third of the way through already. And so, there has to be some judgments here and some evaluations. But, I wrote a little bit. I think what Alec Bohm has done bouncing third and first has been pretty impressive. And he's going to give them some options for when Bryce Harper does get to first base, which is probably closer to the All-Star break now at this point. Mm-hmm. Wrote a little about that in a recent notes column. And I also talked to, I thought it was interesting, so I talked to AAA hitting coach Joe Thurston about a couple guys down AAA who I think have been having some interesting starts to their years, Simone Muzioti and Jalen Ortiz, who's DFA'd ever since, has just crushed the ball. So you can go read about that, and you can go read about the mediocre Phillies.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just say 2006 Phillies legend Joe Thurston is the
Triple A hitting coach. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's good. All right. We'll end on a happy note there. That's nice. Oh, awesome. Great. So thank you for that. Go read Matt's stuff at The Athletic, as always. This was good. It's good to be back. It's a shame the Phillies haven't reciprocated in kind. But maybe by this time next week, they'll be giving us more reasons to think that they're back, only to dash them. Boy, I'm in a really good headspace about this team right now, aren't I? For Matt, I'm Paul. Another week down. Let's get through it.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.